Thanks for coming. So, as he was saying, my name is Scott Wells. I'm finishing my master's up in crop science at North Carolina State University. I work in Chris Reberg Horton's organic cropping system lab, and today I'm going to present some of our work that we've done in nitrogen mobilization in cereal rye roll-killed systems. So this is a quick overview. I'm not going to read this slide off. I just want it on here just so you have kind of a roadmap, and if I've done everything correctly, we may get to some questions by the end of this. So let's move right into the introduction. General weed control in organic soybeans is challenging. It can't be more evident from this picture here. On the left, we have good weed control. On the right, we have a runaway pigweed forest. Coming up with a comprehensive weed management system offers a lot of challenges as well. And one of the research technologies that we've been looking into is the use of the roller crimper when compared either with a cereal cover crop, and it also could be used with a legume cover crop as well. Now, we have seen that this roller crimper system is effective at suppressing weeds when we have adequate rye biomass at roll kill. This next couple of slides really point to that. So let's take a minute to orient ourselves with this graph. We have percent weed coverage on our y-axis, and we have rye biomass on our x-axis. You'll see it's by location and date. But what I want to draw your attention to is that we've categorized this in terms of low, medium, and high rye biomass, being low at 7,000 kilograms per hectare, medium 7 to 9,000, and high at 9,000 kilograms per hectare. So in our low situation, it's kind of our worst case scenario. We end up with this pigweed forest. We have almost 100% coverage in all of our treatments with weeds. Our situation improves a bit as we move into the higher biomasses. Kinston in 2009 was about 7,000 kilograms per hectare. We had about 50% weed coverage. It even gets even better as we move into Plymouth. We had about 9,000. We're right there at the cusp of getting into the high range. We had almost 5 to 10% weed coverage. Situation more like these organic soybeans that we see here. Soybeans with no weeds. So we've seen that this rye-killed system or roll-killed system with rye can suppress weeds. But we have to ask ourselves, what are some of the mechanisms that are behind this? There's obvious ones, the physical barriers, allopathic controls. As you can see here, we have an immense amount of residue in between the soybean rows here. This residue acts as just a full-on barrier. When you have small seeded weeds like Amaranthus retroflexus or pigweed, they just can't penetrate through this barrier. We also have allopathic controls. I'm not going to really get into it with this talk, but we were asking ourselves, when thinking about it in the roll-killed system, are there other mechanisms? And one that came to mind to us is this idea of induced low nitrogen environment. And we're getting this induced low nitrogen environment through rye biomass. We're trying to maximize our rye biomass to suppress our weeds. All right, so this we are going to call this rye biomass-driven nitrogen constraints on the entire system. This is kind of a two-prong effect here. We have this idea of rye, this catch crop nature of rye, ability of rye to scavenge nitrogen over the entire season. We planned up our plots in October. They stay in rye all the way till May until we put soybeans in them when they're roll-killed. So rye has been shown to be a great catch crop or scavenging crop. Studies have shown that rye following corn has been able to sequester close to 40% of the residual nitrogen and assimilate that into its biomass. So we get the first part of this, we get this catch crop nature going on. We get extended nitrogen constraints after the roll kill event when we have nitrogen mobilization. It's well known that if you incorporate a high C-to-N ratio residue into your soil profile, you're going to affect nitrogen immobilization. And at roll kill, you saw from some of our other graphs, we're upwards of 9,000 kilograms per hectare. We have a lot of carbon out there. Now, in terms of the roll kill system, rye roll kill system, less is kind of known about the nitrogen dynamics with the surface residue, which kind of naturally leads us into our questions. We wanted to find out, how does this roll-killed rye affect soil inorganic and plant-available nitrogen? And if we have an effect, how are the weeds and soybeans dealing with it? In this constrained environment, are we seeing some kind of plant response? These material and methods are going to help us answer this question. We roll killed at early milk stage following soybean planting. Here you can see her after right after we roll killed and we're planting with our no-till soybean planter. Bare ground plots are maintained weed-free, either by hand weeding or herbicides. Soil samples were collected at 10 centimeters depth at planting for every 2 weeks, for 8 weeks on. Plant root simulator probes were installed at planting and exchanged every 2 weeks. These next couple slides will kind of show that for people who aren't familiar with them, but there's a cation and anion probe that's installed right into the soil. It's actually, you can't see it in this picture, it's in my next slide, but there's actually a root exclusionary collar there as well. After we install the probes, we actually come back through and lay the biomass that is in contact with the soil. And then in our bare ground plots, also in our roll kill plots, you can see a picture of the root exclusion collar, which is a 4-inch diameter PVC pipe. It's cut to 6 inches. Moving along, pigweed and soybean carbon and nitrogen ratios are tracked every 2 weeks after planting, up to 8 weeks. Above canopy pigweed densities were counted at 8 weeks after planting, and soybeans were harvested in late November. So let's go ahead and move on into the data. Now I know this is busy. Before I orient you to these graphs, there's three key components I want you to take away from this. One, rolled rye plots had lower initial N. Two, the roll, which is represented in the white. Two, rolled rye plots had continued lower N throughout the season. And three, the change in N due to this nitrogen flux was lower or more constant throughout the season. So let's go ahead and get oriented to that. We got our three key components I want to take away from this. So this is soil data from Kinston 2009. On the top graph, we have extractable nitrogen in kilograms per hectare. In the bottom graph, we have plant available N, which is coming from our plant root simulators. It's measured in amount of ions per the actual area of the probe integrated over a 2-week burial period. So we think about it. Our first thing, rolled rye plots had lower initial N. This makes sense if we think about the catch crop nature or the scavenging ability of roll-killed rye, or just rye in general. It's out there through the entire season, and we see it at planting. We're lower in our roll-killed systems. The second thing, after we roll-kill, we now have nitrogen mobilization happening. We've got a massive amount of carbon above ground and carbon below ground. This is continuing to keep it suppressed. We see evidence also in our plant available in as the nitrogen flux is not changing that much based on this whole idea of the second part of nitrogen mobilization after we roll crimp. These same trends are seen in 2010. We have initial roll kill rye plots, initial N are lower in the roll kill plots than are in the bare ground plots. They continue to stay suppressed throughout the season due to nitrogen mobilization. And we see the same thing in our plant available N, where the roll kill plots have less change in them throughout the season. So we've shown this data really points to the fact that we've got something going on in our roll kill plots. We have nitrogen constraints out there. Do we see plant response? Are we seeing weed responses to this nitrogen constraints? And one of our parameters that we measure to kind of look at some of these plant responses is carbon to nitrogen ratios throughout the season. So this graph here shows we have CNN ratios, both graphs, this is from Goldsboro 2009 and Kinston 2009. Pigweeds were taken from both of these sites on 2-week intervals. And you'll see CNN ratios on the y-axis. So the key point I want you to take away from this graph is that in a nitrogen constrained environment, there's less nitrogen for these pigweeds to luxury spin. They're not being able to get to this nitrogen, so our nitrogen signals are going to be lower, so our carbon and nitrogen ratios are going to be higher throughout the season. This is in fact what we're seeing in Goldsboro 2009 and again in Kinston 2010 when compared to the bare ground plots. But we have to ask, well, the soybeans are out there in these plots as well. How are they handling this type of environment? In the same situation, we're seeing an early season response to the nitrogen constraints in the environment. We see in Goldsboro 2009 at week 6, we're seeing some significant difference, but we really don't see it throughout the rest of Goldsboro. And in Kinston, we're seeing a bit more of early season plant response to the nitrogen-constrained environment. But this isn't a bad thing, because we have to remember that the soybeans are a legume crop. They're going to be able to produce the bulk of their nitrogen necessary to continue for their yield. And if we look at our yield data, we actually see that late season, you know, by the end of the season, in our high biomass plots out here at the end, we actually see that any late early season differences that we saw, we didn't see at the end. We saw that our rye plots yielded as well as our bare ground weed-free plots at higher biomass levels. Whereas in the lower levels, we see that we're losing yield based to actually weed pressures, if you think back of our earlier graph. So what I want you to walk away from this, what we learned is that row kill rye can suppress weeds if we have enough rye biomass at row kill. Row rye systems will lower soil nitrogen levels. We have to think of it in a couple of approaches. One, the catch crop nitrogen sequestration. You also have the immobilization event after the row kill. The weeds are affected by the nitrogen constraints in the environment. And any early season effect that we're seeing in our soybeans, the soybeans are able to grow out of it. And when cereal cover crop is paired with a legume cash crop, the result is lower weed crop interference without reducing soybean yield. We want to go a bit further with this. We've established that yes, the physical barriers work with rye biomass. That has been established. We've also established that there's a difference in these nitrogen pools. We would like to go a bit further and say, can we utilize this difference in nitrogen to actually decrease the weed crop competition in the row kill system with rye? And if it is a significant event, should we be recommending to our producers to treat the rye cover crop as a crop, you know, trying to achieve maximum biomass? Or should we have them cut back from that and start, you know, playing into more of this nitrogen-deprived system? So I'd like to thank the people at the stations that we work at. They are wonderful people. Research technician who's not here today, Carrie Britton, the people from our lab, and none of this would have been able to do without all the undergraduate labor that we've had.
Okay, we have some time for questions.
How do you think the system would have differed if you had incorporated that rye residue? So if you had three treatments, the bare ground, one where the rye biomass was incorporated, and the third where it was just rolled down, in terms of nitrogen dynamics, how would...
Okay, the question is, if we had three treatments, the two that were present, rolled rye and bare ground, and then one that was incorporated, and how would the nitrogen dynamics? I think when you incorporate, I think the rye incorporated plots are actually going to have lower inorganic N than you would see in your surface residue plots. You're exposing more, first of all, you're hitting it with a big disc, I assume. You're having to bust up this rye. I mean, we got 9,000 kilograms per hectare, a lot of rye out there. You're going to have to bust it up pretty good. So you're exposing more surface area more volume of it to the soil. So I'd imagine that those plots would have even further constrained nitrogen conditions.
There's been a lot of research done with fertility of soybeans and nitrogen management to fertilizer. Do you think that maybe additional fertilizer nitrogen would be beneficial in these high residue systems?
All right, the question was, do I think that extra nitrogen, I guess, maybe along grain field or some point would benefit the yield? I think overall we give and take. I think if we're going to put, you know, maybe if we put out extra nitrogen out there to increase our yield, you know, I would imagine we're also going to be affecting some of the weed dynamics out there as well. But we also have to think about, this is in an organic soybeans context, and you'd have to be using something to be readily available. It wouldn't be mineralized, and you already have a situation where you have a lot of carbon in the system. So I don't know that I personally would advise that by adding extra nitrogen to hit some yield. You saw from our yield data that we had no difference detected between the best that site could do in the bare grounds versus the roll killed system.
Okay.
We need to keep moving, I'm sorry.
Do I just hit escape?
You just do, oh. I'll take care of it. They taught me well.
All right, thank you.
You bet, thank you.